Hello, this is Gail, the Legacy Lady, and you are listening to or watching Legacy After Dark. And I am here with April. I'm so freaking excited. When she booked onto my calendar so many, many moons ago, I just was like, oh, I get to talk to her. It's going to be so cool. I didn't know you previously. We met on Clubhouse, and I'm just, I'm so grateful that you decided to hang out so late and be with me. So I'm going to introduce you all to April, and then I'll let her talk for herself. So April is an advocate for the autism community, sharing how she works with her own autistic traits to use writing as a therapeutic outlet. Crowned cliffhanger queen, April is known for leaving her readers on the edge with her best-selling sci-fi fantasy series, The Eon Chronicles. You can find her blogging about her favorite reads on Instagram at author_April_M_Woodard. Woodard. She is also a marketing consultant to authors, helping them focus how they can connect with their ideal audience on social media. So with that, April, thank you so much for coming. And
thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome.
The way you said the Woodard, it made it sound very fancy. So I kind of like that better than Woodard. It's like everybody says it different. Some people say Woodward. So
I really wanted to put a W.
A lot of people want to. I don't know what it is. It's like it, you know, it just comes naturally to say Woodward, and I was like, I get it.
So what I think I said? What did I say? Woodard.
Woodard. Woodard. It like sounds very artsy. I'm like, I like that.
A long A. Woodard.
Woodard. Yeah.
Oh, so that was like, so when I read your bio, I was like, oh my gosh, that's like a huge, like we could talk for 4 hours, I feel like, minimum.
Oh yeah.
And not even hit at all.
Yeah.
So what is top of mind for you right now? And we can start there.
I didn't hear you, broke up a little bit.
Sorry. It's like, what is something that you're thinking about right now? Like you have a, I know you have a book coming out that isn't happening until next year. We're in the middle of, there's some autism things happening in the autism community right now. I'm trying to pick where we start, really, because I was looking at your bio.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it is Autism Awareness Month. And so I could talk a little bit about that, because a lot of people assume that, like when I say advocate, that my advocating is like for my kids and their acceptance. Nobody can see my air quotes. But the way I advocate, I do advocate for acceptance, like kindness and trying to understand. But also for anyone that's like high functioning, like me, that like I understand there's still things that are hard for people. Like anxiety can be, you know, really difficult, and so can depression. But, you know, for us, it's like really having to take that. Yeah, things are hard, but if we really apply ourselves, like we can do some really great things. Like if I wanted to just, you know, lay down and deal with my anxiety or not actually not face my anxiety, I would not be writing books. I would not be doing anything. I'd just be letting my anxiety control me. And that's something I'm working on with my son, who's still, he's not as high functioning as me and his older brother. But so when I say like autism acceptance, for me, it's more of, yes, acceptance. But then again, like I want to encourage anybody that's high functioning or maybe has ADHD to work with what they have and try to, find ways to self-improve, because that's what I did. And it's been so beneficial to me to really, try to overcome things and like work on them. So that's kind of like what I advocate more for, advocating for people to like self-improve and self-help, really.
So what about, you mentioned, I picked up on a couple of things in there. So what have you done for yourself, and what was your, did you figure out, like, spoiler, think it's writing. So when did you figure out that writing was like going to be the thing that was going to help you work through some of those things and be able to self-manage and do that? Correct me if I'm wrong too.
No, you're not wrong. So I didn't realize that probably since I was very young, like books were always like an amazing escape for me. Like that's how I like really escaped, was into worlds and leaving. And just like going into my imagination, because as a high functioning autistic, like we're known for having like very vivid imaginations, which usually gets us in trouble. But if you can like cultivate it and work with it, it can be a really amazing thing. But I was writing poetry when I was depressed a lot. And then I decided I really didn't like poetry. Like that's cool and all. And I, you know, for each their own, but poetry was not my thing. I wanted to like really create characters I could relate to, or even put my flaws and my faults or my shortcomings into, and then give them solutions. It was really like empowering to me to be like, oh, you know, like we can get through this. Like this person has a lot of things that I do, or, you know, it really helped me therapeutically, because I even could see myself with more empathy and helping like that character problem solve through, you know, like depression or anxiety or losing a loved one or whatever it may be. And so, I don't even know how old I was when I was like, I really like to write, but I never really thought of it as a career choice. It wasn't until I had my daughter in like 2011 that I was like, I want to do something for myself. And in 2012, I had a dream that was very vivid and like basically the book idea. And I wrote down the draft and then I put it away because I was like, I'm not a writer. And then I picked it up, I want to say in like 2014. So that's kind of how I started my book series. But yeah, it really does help you look at yourself. If you do put yourself, parts of yourself, which all authors usually do, it helps you look at yourself in a different light. Like not, I don't know, because I think a lot of people are really hard on themselves and too judgmental.
Yes, agreed, for sure. is that something that you, can I ask how old your kids are?
Yeah, so my oldest is 13, my middle child's 12, and my daughter is 10.
Okay, so and do you so see some both, of those, let's go ahead.
Both the boys are autistic, so they're both okay. On the spectrum. The middle child is a little further down on the spectrum, which means like he needs more assistance, we'll say that. And that's usually what it means. It's like low functioning, high functioning. But I don't even like to say he needs more assistance or needs more help, because really it's different for everybody. Like my oldest son needs help in other things. So, but yeah, it's very difficult. What were you going to ask?
I was going to ask, oh crap, it was a good question.
I made you forget, I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay. I was going to ask if you were talking about that you put some of your traits or what you see as your shortcomings and possibly differences in the books. Are there things that, have you done the same thing with your kids, and have you been able, that's one question. So we'll start with that question and then I have another question.
Getting the kids to do stories and working through that.
Yeah, that was actually through probably writing? The second question. Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we have them like writing like therapy sessions, but my kids don't really like to write, so I don't force them to. But if they did, I'd be like, great, let's do this. But they would much rather like decompress with Roblox or escaping into Minecraft. So that's their jam. I let them do that.
Have you gotten to, have they shown you what they do in Minecraft?
Yeah, it's so cool because they build stuff, and I don't know what else. Okay, I'm doing an interview, buddy. I told you. One of them's like, it's, go hang out in there for a little while. Now I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, so.
Go ahead.
It happens all the time. So Gibra, like my middle child that's a little further down the spectrum, he likes to build things, like houses or what, like they'll tell me all the things they're building. I'm like, how do you guys know how to do that? It's like, well, you have to watch the YouTube video first and then you go back into Minecraft and then you build it. I'm like, oh, but Roblox is like something else that I'm just like, it's like a multiverse. And I'm like, I don't even know what's going on half the time. I'm like, what are you guys like? Where are you? Oh, you know, it's just the game in Roblox. I'm like, okay. There's so many different things to do though.
It's kind of, I always thought of Roblox as like, it's kind of like when we would go to the mall, when there were like malls and you like could go into all the different shops and like everything. Yeah. It was like walking into a different world. Like when you walked into American Eagle, you knew you were in a different place than like Hot Topic. So,
yeah.
And like the feeling was different. You did different things. You like acted different in the store potentially.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I sort of think of Roblox when they explain it to me. It's like, basically it's all these different places they can go in and like be whoever they are in that moment, which is really neat, which is kind of like that character neat. It's like character building. The Minecraft, I was asking about the Minecraft because the way my kids use Minecraft, or at least the youngest, she goes in and builds like these symmetrical like houses mm-hmm. with like just unbelievable, like everything's like categorized, like it's all very orderly, it's all because she can't make her reality that way, and so she
makes it's nice that she can do it. Yeah, it's nice she can do it in Minecraft. It's awesome.
Oh, it is awesome. It
gives them some kind of, you know, like a little bit of control. Like, you know, the outside world, you're like, especially for kids, like there's no really controlling. So they feel like I can be proud of something that I, you know, can build and control and like cultivate there, you know, because it's like a little world they're creating. It's like the building blocks are there. But yeah.
I think it's a neat, and they have like animals and like she names them all. And so it's kind of like there's a whole world. So then she tells me a story. So I was thinking about the writing part, and the way my kids have done it is that even if they don't like writing, they're doing that storytelling and that
work. Still, yeah. And it's absolutely.
Just in a completely different way than we're doing it.
Yeah. Which, I mean, it's totally fine. I mean, before you know it, like I'm a writer for Chattables, which is a AI voice interactive story app on the Echo Dot. On Amazon. And so I really think that things are going in the direction of voice, honestly. So there's nothing wrong with them training now to voice their stories. I think that's so great. I mean, like, who knows, maybe it'll just be all voice stuff of it. Like, we don't really know.
No, we don't know. It's that, yeah, the voice stuff is, especially when they have if they have auditory processing disorders and auditory sensory, like it's really interesting to see how the A lady, I say the A lady if I don't want her to turn on. So the A lady, and then they've renamed one, the E person. So
they have, so. We call her Lexi when we don't want her to turn on because it's very similar, but, she can do a lot of things I didn't realize she could do, but being autistic, like she helps me a lot. Like I had her remind me 3 or 4 times about the hangout with you. I was like, okay, that's right, Lexi. I remember now. Thank you for that reminder. She's like, you're welcome. I'm like, okay.
Wait, did she say you're welcome? Cause she won't say uh-huh. you're welcome to me. I say thank you.
She won't
you
say you're
time.
Welcome if you say thank you.
No.
Why is mine so polite?
I don't know. Maybe it takes me too long. Maybe I have to think too long about she told me, and then I take too long to say thank you.
Yeah, because it's almost like you have to kind of say her name with it, too.
Oh, yeah. I probably don't do that. I just say thank you like I'm having a conversation.
Oh. Yeah, because if she's still on, she's probably listening. Then if you say, thank you, Lexi, she might. Try that, yeah. You have to kind of train her, too, so. Yeah. They're learning bots. So it's so cool. It's kind of creepy weird at the same time.
It's very slightly super very weird.
Slightly.
I agree. Just a little bit. So I was curious about, I had gone and creeped on your Instagram a little bit. I'm curious about your covers and the backgrounds that you do on the book Instagram, correct? So don't you have 2 Instagram accounts, is that right?
I do have 2 Instagram accounts. So yeah, I have a Bookstagram account where I read books and I review books and I take book pictures. So how I do the background for like just the props of setting stuff up?
Well, look, so it felt like I saw color changes. So I was curious about the color changes and how did you decide like when you're going to change colors, like was it seasonal? Like I thought maybe I could tell, but I was curious.
Oh, so it's just monthly. So every month I just I change the filter basically. I use Lightroom and I've got all kinds of fun filters in there. And so I just go through and I just play around and see which one works. And sometimes I'll add another filter on that. And yeah, it's a lot of fun just playing around with colors and filters. But the green that I did for March, I was like, it's called matcha or something. I'm like, okay, I'm digging this green. But that was like the most I've ever done is like color wise. Usually I just try to up the sharpness or like make it very vibrant or something. But I'll usually put a color, like an actual color. Like I think this month I'm doing like pink flowers. So green and pink basically for the month of April. But yeah, it's just whatever I'm in the mood for. I might do like blue next or something, like blue props, or it's called potpourri, the stuff that's around in the photo that looks like, I don't even know. It's from the Dollar Tree, honestly. Like, it's not expensive. And I got the cutting board from the thrift store. So I don't spend a lot on my props.
You actually go like buy, you bought all the flowers and that's like literally, so they're actual flowers. I mean, not real ones, but like the.
Oh no, not real ones. Yeah, the flowers I usually use are from the Dollar Tree. Like all these are from the Dollar Tree.
That's amazing.
All my flowers are from.
Yeah, I couldn't tell if they were like just really good Photoshop or like, I couldn't tell if they were really good or not, or if they were actually like props you had. I thought it was pretty neat. So
it's just, yeah, it's just the way that you up the vibrance and the sharpness, and the sharpness makes a big difference. Because I mean, sometimes your photos, if you don't clean off your lens real good with your iPhone, and I use an iPhone. I'm so like very low budget everything. I think my ring light that I'm using right now is the only thing I've ever spent like the most money on. But yeah, if you just up the sharpness, it usually helps a ton. So it just makes them a little more crisp. So, but if you go too far, it starts looking weird. So yeah, you can play around with the sharpness.
Cool. So do you have I don't want to ask if you have a favorite, but do you have one? Do you have a book? Cause I imagine you've read a lot. So is there one that
favorite
stuck
book?
Out in, yeah, I'm not going to ask you unless you have a favorite book. Do you have one?
Like my favorite book ever. Yeah. That's hard. I want to say like this year, maybe it was last year. House of Salt and Sorrow was really good. It was a retelling about the 12 dancing princesses.
Okay.
It was really, really good. It had a really great twist. Who was it by? Oh no, I forgot. Oh, I can't remember author names at all. and then, The Giver is like actually one of my favorite books if we're doing fiction.
Yeah.
And then the Dream Giver, if we're talking nonfiction. And I think The Dream Giver is by Bruce Wilkinson. But that's what sparked the whole the hero's journey method, like passion project, basically. Okay. So I really love that book.
And what's the hero's journey passion project?
So I started on my Instagram doing using the hero's journey method by Joseph Campbell. He has it's called the book The Man with a Thousand Faces. And so basically every major motion picture that been a blockbuster hit, like the Avengers or like the Marvel, Disney, just about like every single like major movie that's done really well as a box office hit, and every book that's done really well, all like follows that hero's journey like story structure.
Right.
And so you basically have like the hero is called to a journey. He's not really want to go on it, but then he has to go on it. And then along the way, he finds friends usually, and a mentor helps him along. He has to face his enemy, whether it be himself or like an actual enemy. And he usually deals with another kid came in because I'm in their room. We share a room. So he deals with like death to himself or like real death. Or going through some kind of like process in that way. And then he comes out victorious, usually learning something or bringing back an actual object that was his reward, or that he had gone on this journey to get in the first place. And then he returns home to his ordinary life, but a changed person. And so that's why, like, to me, that it really resonated with me, because not only is it like, oh, anybody can be the hero of their own journey, but that everybody's story, like when you start off a story, usually you have an underdog that ends up, you know, becoming the hero. Like everybody likes that story.
Right.
Nobody really wants the villain to win. Like I don't mind. It doesn't bother me. I kind of like the twisted stories, but the majority of people, I know I was watching a movie with my sister-in-law one time, and it didn't end the way she expected it to end. It was Vanilla Sky. And I actually really liked that movie. She's like, and I'm not going to spoil it, but she was like, why did it happen this way? That's not how it's supposed to happen. I'm like, but this is how the director wanted it to happen. Like, I dig it. Like, I like that I was surprised that it didn't go the way that, you know, a lot of people expected. And so there are some movies that are just disappointing to some people because they're like, but that's not, there's not a happy ending. Everything has to have a happy ending. So as you can tell, like, everybody likes that happy ending. So
what's the I think I missed the what's the passion? So that's the hero's journey. What's the passion project? What are you doing with it?
So my passion over this has created me to work on a project where I want to help inspire people to find their own life purpose, not major life purpose, but like purpose in the world, or just a purpose maybe for discovering their self-worth, whatever it might be. Like, just find a goal and follow that like purpose, because I went through that. And even like, just if it's just for yourself and self-discovery of trying to be confident in yourself, to feel like you have worth in the world, like that's like usually the first step. But to go on and like help other people, I think we really, need that in the world, because I think a lot of people believe that they're not worth anything or helpful, but really it's always the underdog in every story. It's always the underdogs. It's like, oh, I'm nothing special, I have nothing to offer, but they do. So I really want to inspire people to take on this like journey for themselves and discover their own path, kind of thing. And because I've got these books that just really inspired me to kind of talk about it more, especially the Dream Giver. It's more of a Christian-based book, but I think for anybody it would work, because it's about someone that's called Ordinary, and he goes on a journey. So that's why I like this project idea that I've been working with.
I love that project idea. It's a good project idea. I find that
Thank you.
it's I have to be working towards something, so everything
Right.
else makes sense. Like, if I'm not working towards something and I don't stand still very well, and like I've realized over the years there always has to be something, and it
You
doesn't
have to be
matter what it
always
is.
doing something, right?
Yeah, it doesn't
I'm
matter
the
if
same
it's
way. Or five things. That's my
Yeah,
problem, is
or
all,
five, because then I can
right?
choose. If I get bored, I can do one of the other four. Like,
Exactly, right? So like, I started this whole book series, and I'm almost wishing like I could have pushed in like the third and just be done with it. But I still really love the stories. But like, there's other things I want to get to, like with this new project. Like, my ADD kicked in. It's like, hold on, like squirrel, we see a shiny new object we must have and must fulfill this drive. Because when you get really excited about something you're super passionate about, you're like, oh, all right, we're gonna do this. Because I was really, really passionate about writing my series, and now like I'm so close to finishing it, I'm like, okay, I'm ready to be done. But it's just one last book. That's all we need, is one last book. And then I'm sure, I'll slow down on this project once it starts helping people and they can kind of go forth and do their own thing. Or maybe I won't have to do as many speaking events. Then maybe, I'll get back to writing. But I think I really would like to do the inspirational speaking for a little while before I get back to writing, because I do like to talk.
And you're good at it. You are good
Oh,
at it.
thanks. I try. I've always been a talker, so you could ask my mom. She would be like, she never would be quiet. So.
So I was gonna ask you if you wrote like in a diary. Did you do journaling or anything like that when you were a kid?
I
Okay.
did. I journaled a lot, actually. I think I had journals since I was 10, and I had a ton of them. And then one day, when I was like 22, 21, I realized that I had written way too many personal things, and I was sick and tired of all those personal things, and I decided that they need to go away. So I put them in a burn barrel, literally, and lit it on fire.
You
Yeah,
didn't.
I did. Now,
Oh my gosh.
my 60 or 70-year-old self would be like, you could have turned that into like a biography. But I'm still okay with it at my age of 38, almost 40. So yeah, it's fine. I never wanted them to be found, was the thing. I'm like, this is some really dark stuff. Like, I mean, because people get, with journals and diaries, I mean, you really lay it all out. And so there
Yes, you
was
do.
some very not good. I didn't want my kids to get a hold of it or nothing. I'm just like, these are some very dark things. I don't ever want my kids to ever be like, mom thought about these things, like hurting herself and stuff like that. I'm like, yeah, let's not let the kids, like, if they were to ask me about those kind of things, I
Yeah.
would be very open and honest. But for them to read the internal thinking, is different. Because I could still, if they ask me, keep it in a different, like, not positive light, but just be like, but it was wrong. You know, it was like, well, it wasn't wrong to feel that way or think that way, but it was wrong to assume that I wasn't worth anything. Because everybody is. Everybody's life is valuable. So yeah, feelings are valid, but that kind of thinking, I don't think should happen. We can't control that, but yeah, didn't want my kids to read any of that. So,
well, and I think being able to have that constructive conversation around it, like being able to put it into context, like them reading it out of context and not being able to like hear the last chapter, like, you know, all the chapters that happened after those chapters, like there's so many things, so many moments that came after these moments where I was feeling like this big and, you know, and then had your own hero's journey, which I think is really neat. And I would wager that your 67-year-old self, you could say to your 67-year-old self that you have written your biography and it's just in all of your other works. So because you talked about that you put yourself into the books, like it's there. It's just, you know, pretty maybe much. Not collectively. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I really like fictionalize these characters. Like there's just very little pieces. Like my main character, Claire, in the second book of my series, she's afraid of heights. That's a very literal thing for me.
Yes.
She also has anxiety and PTSD. That's a very literal thing for me. And I did that because I know exactly how it feels. I was like, oh, I could write this. But her being like very, like when she's had enough and being very strong and outspoken about certain things. That's, I don't usually do that. I am not, I've gotten better, but when I wrote it, I'm like, I'm not this type of person, but I'd like to be. So I was like, this is how she's going to be. If somebody is doing something, like she's going to say something. And so that's something else I like about writing characters is like, well, maybe they have these things, but there's really good things, you know, that I can learn from and try to work on. So yeah, I'm sure. Like, and they're always making me better people, even though they're not real. Maybe there really is a person out there like that. You know, we don't know.
Have you found any writers groups yet? Like I don't think about my characters as being real either. But I know that there's lots of authors that do I've never understood, and I love all of my fellow authors, but I've never understood the conversation around the character like made me do this, or my character like won't figure out where it's supposed to go. And I'm just like,
I mean, I have those conversations, but not literally.
I take things literally, so it's really hard for me like to separate that.
I usually do too, but I think they're cracking jokes majority of the time. I mean, now my characters will talk to me as far as dialogue goes. I don't control that sometimes. That's my brain's inner working of just letting it play out. Kind of like a daydream. Like if I was sleeping, it'd be dreaming, but it's during the day where I'm just staring off into space. So it's a daydream, a very vivid daydream. So, I mean, but yeah, I don't consider my characters real. I know they're fictional things that I've made up and dreamed up. Just like when girls like fangirl over book boyfriends, like they know they're not real, but do they wish they were real? Yeah. I have a couple on my shelf somewhere.
So I actually wanted to ask you before we wrap up, I wanted to ask you about your shelf. So there's a little bobblehead person maybe next to you, the other direction, that one.
Yeah.
Who is that?
That's Jareth from, am I saying his name right? From The Labyrinth.
Oh, okay.
You remember The Labyrinth with,
Okay.
So that's him. Why I have the Goblin King and my other Funkos are up top from the show Lost. I don't know if you know about the show Lost, but I'm a huge, huge fan. A lot of people didn't understand it, didn't like it, but that's where I grabbed a lot of like inspiration to do backstories for my characters and kind of like litter it into the story. Cause that's basically what they do with Lost is they have all these characters and they just like put in all the backstory and weave it in and connect all the characters, which I thought was really cool.
Okay.
That's, I got a lot of stuff on my shelf though.
You do have a lot of shelves. So I want to ask about, let's see, what's the thing on your shelf that means the most to you?
That means the most to me. Oh, that's really hard. Okay. Not really. Maybe not really.
Or it came from a person who means a lot to you.
Okay.
Okay.
So this is a picture of me and one of my best friends and one of her best friends when we went to Vegas. I actually met this fellow author like for the first time in Vegas. Like we just were like, we're going to go meet in Vegas. We've yeah. never met, but we're going to be besties. And we are. So that means the most to me. And then her books are right there with that. But I mean, I really don't have any sentimental, and then the necklace she gave me, but I really don't have any sentimental items other than that. Other than the books, I do have The Great Gatsby up there, but I can't pull that's that pretty. Down because it's in the nook. But that's also one of my favorite books. Do you like what?
No, I was it's in the nook. Like I like that. There was a gentleman, he's passed away now, but something that he would say is that like it's in the book. Like, you know, the Denver mine. It's an inside joke. But it's just it's in the nook. Squirrel.
Yeah.
Like
well no, that's like a bookstore too. Like in the nook or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really think that's catchy. But yeah, I've got The Great Gatsby is one of my favorites as well. But yeah, what I really am trying to do though is not have so many books and just have books that I know I'll really, really love to read again. Like I'll probably be getting rid of a lot of books because there's just too many. And so I've been really doing like the audiobook thing recently. I'm like, mm-hmm. I don't want all this stuff. I want more like making like, I don't know, I'd have to show you, but like little spaces where I can like kind of make some scenery around it, a special space for my favorite book.
Yes.
So, because I've got Heartless by Marissa Meyer, which is another favorite of mine. You can't see it because I've got stuff in the way. Stuff.
So what's your favorite? Do you have a favorite narrator on Audible?
Can I say my voiceover actor?
Sure. You can say yours.
Katie Hageman. Yeah. No, she's great though. I don't know of any others, honestly. Whoever does the Red Rising series, whoever that guy is, like, does amazing.
I'm gonna have to
look that up. Oh man, like his voice is perfect for the character.
Yeah,
it's just really, and I think it's British. I'm not sure, but it's just really good. And then there is, let's see, who else? Will Wheaton, I think, does Ready Player Two.
Yeah,
I haven't got to listen to it. Yeah, I haven't got to listen to it. I've been like waiting for it. It's been on hold. I'm like, dude.
Well, he did Ready Player One too, right? Didn't he do Ready Player One?
I didn't get to listen to that one. I don't know.
Okay. I think he did do Ready Player One.
Okay.
I will double check just for the, you know.
I'm not sure, but I think that's awesome. I'm like, yeah. Yes, that's great. Because I've got Ready Player One somewhere up here. But yeah, we own the movie. So, and sometimes I'll watch the movies, which is like, I made a rule to myself years ago. You're not allowed to watch a movie unless you read the book. But now we've got like some Netflix series that are books and I don't know it. And then I watch it and then I find out, oh, you were a book or a book series. I'm like, you know what? I'm changing my rule.
There's some series I can't like once I've watched it, like sometimes I'll go and I'll try to read it, but it doesn't mm-hmm. always work. Like it's.
Yeah.
Like the show was. Sorry, much better than like it's
better.
Once like because I'm okay. so vivid and I'm so literal. Like once I have all of the characters, like I can see them. Like I can't imagine them any other way, and so I have a hard time. Like especially like reading on a page. Usually I can do Audible. But have you listened to one that I listened to after I'd seen the movie was The Martian?
Oh, I didn't get to listen to that one. I have it. I own it.
Okay,
I own it. Yeah,
you should listen to The Martian.
Okay.
So it's read by R.C. Bray, and I am in love with his voice. I literally, like, travel. I, like, travel around, and, like, anything he's narrating, I listen to.
Usually,
Yeah, so he does these, like, space epics, like, space fantasy things, which
I would love that.
It gets very confusing sometimes, because sometimes, like, the universes are totally separate. It's completely different authors, but it's R.C. Bray reading it, and if some of the planet names are the same or some of the character names are similar, I will actually get literally lost and forget which book I'm listening to.
I do too. I can't, like, I get so confused. This is why I can't do, like, epic fantasy. So yeah. I don't know. Maybe I can't do, like, space operas and stuff like you're talking about. I'll probably get confused because, like, I do. Like, unless you're doing, like, only a few items at a time here, like, I can pay attention. We start talking about five or six characters like Lord of the Rings, I tried reading that. I had read The Hobbit, and for some reason I didn't have an issue with that, maybe because I was younger, but I tried reading Lord of the Rings, and I was like, nope. I tried reading Game of Thrones. I was like, nope. Game of Thrones especially. I was like, okay, I'm really into like the first two pages, and then we get into this five or six pages of, I don't even know if it was the scenery or what, but I was like, what are we doing?
Well, Lord of the Rings really liked its family lineage. So
Yes,
Ginny, same, my one of my best friends from elementary school. Yes. So Ginny's saying the same for Game of Thrones. Absolutely. Yeah, it's, who else did that? I would skip those whole pages. Like if it's a full page of scenery or like family lineage, I'm like, nope. But Audible, you have to listen to it on Audible. I used to skip, like I listened to, someone was doing I don't know who I did the book club with. I found someone who was doing a Lord of the Rings book club. So I did a marathon and listened to like Lord of the Rings front to back.
Oh.
Like that's all I listened to.
I haven't tried to listen to it. Maybe I should attempt.
There's
you can't skip though.
No, well, actually I did. I would speed it up.
Okay.
I would speed it up during the scenery.
Okay.
And the whenever they did the lineage, I would totally speed it up through that because, you know, whatever. But there's different, I would listen to, I listen to narrators before I even worry about the content of the book. Because mm-hmm. if I can't stand the voice of the narrator,
no
it doesn't
point.
Doesn't matter what the book is.
Oh, I know.
It's really good.
I've had problems with a few and I'm just like, man, this narrator, it's like some of them just annoy me with the way they narrate. I don't know. And I'm just like, you know, it's just like everybody has their own, you know, kind of thing. But yeah, I haven't let, maybe I'll try to get that on it or maybe not, because
or
I'll
not.
Probably be skipping too. Because that's a lot of the time, like if things start getting like a little boring, I'll skim until
yeah.
I find something that catches me and it's like, oh, it's getting interesting. But I also am really bad about DNFing, which is like do not finish.
Yes.
I'm really bad about that. And I'm really bad about like reading some of the book, and if I get bored, I'll close it and like forget about it and then pick something else. So I have to be very careful. Like, and that's why audiobooks have been great, because usually I'll binge them in like a day or two. Like I usually don't forget. But if they don't have the next in the series, if I'm doing a series, because I'll binge the series, like then I forget, like I've already forgotten about the series I was listening to. I was like, now I'm on another book and I'll probably forget to finish it. Not good.
Yes. I totally understand. I have that problem too. I usually try to set up alerts for those authors that I'm like, I really want to like know what
good
happens.
Idea.
Like you better tell me what's going on. So I don't have a clean way to wrap up this conversation because I feel like we could sit here for hours.
Yeah, we can hang out.
But we can't do that. So can you, I don't have a clean way to do this. So tell people where they can find you and maybe we can get something on the calendar and we can get one of those 4 hours
sometime.
Taken care of.
Alrighty. So anybody can find me at, www.authoraprilmwoodard.com. I did have it just aprilmwoodard.com, but it got stolen, kind of, sort of, not really, but I had to do, I'm redoing my website, everybody, so if it looks kind of like it's a little boring, that's because I just started redoing my website and I don't know what I'm doing on Wix. I'm having to do tutorial classes, so that's been fun, but anyway. Also on Instagram at April_M_Woodard or the author _April_M_Woodard. And the April M. Woodard handle is for the hero's journey and basically like the writing stuff. And then the other one is for my bookstagram, which doesn't really make sense, I don't guess. But to my readers, it makes sense because that's where I keep them updated about how the book's coming, because that's where my readers hang out in the book community. So
that's really what matters, is like that it makes sense to your readers. So
it really does. Yeah. Because they're like, oh, you're an author. Oh, maybe I should check out your books. Oh, and then they read the books. They're like, okay, can I message you? Yes. Message me on Fangirl. Like that's what I'm here for. That's why my DM's always open. But yes, I have enjoyed so much talking to you, Gail, and we'll definitely have to reschedule, or not reschedule, schedule one again.
Do it again.
We'll do it again.
All right. Thank you so much for everyone who watched live, who caught the replay, who's listening to this audio, wherever you are in the world. We love you. Thank you. Go follow April. Check her out on Instagram. I happen to know she's also on Clubhouse and doing fun things over there. So with that, we'll let you go and have an incredible day. And until I see you again, happy writing.